Welcome to the History of North America. I'm Mark Vinette. As we move towards the founding of Montreal and prepare a deep dive into the Golden Age of New France, let us first wrap up the fascinating life, times, deeds, and exploits of Samuel de Champlain, better known in English as Champlain, the father of New France. In 1608, he founded France's first permanent Canadian colony, which he named Quebec, an indigenous word meaning where the river narrows. This strategic location was at the foot of a great rocky cape on the north shore, which formed a natural fortress barring the way upstream to the interior. At the start of the 17th century, the initial phase of European exploration of the North American continent slowly began to move towards colonization. This early, fledgling colonial movement was in need of strong, talented, and determined leaders. Let's catch up and rejoin French soldier, navigator, geographer, explorer, and adventurer Samuel de Champlain and the fledgling North American colony of New France. The early years of the Quebec colony were hard, and the population grew slowly. Champlain administered its affairs and took personal charge of an organized exploration of the unknown interior. During the summer of 1609, Samuel de Champlain attempted to form better relations and alliances with the local First Nations tribes, including Wendat Hurons, Algonquins, and Montagnais, who lived in the area of the St. Lawrence River. These tribes sought Champlain's help in their war against the Haudenosaunee, also known as the Iroquois Confederacy, League, or Five Nations. The founder of New France set off with his men to explore the Rivière des Iroquois, now known as the Richelieu River, and became the first known European to lay eyes on and map one of the continent's majestic bodies of water, named Lake Champlain in his honor. On July 29th, 1609, somewhere in the area near Ticonderoga and Crown Point in Upper New York State, a battle took place that had a significant effect on relations between the French and the Iroquoian Mohawks. While the Battle of Lake Champlain cowed the Iroquoian Mohawks for some years, they would later return to fight the French and Algonquin for the rest of the century. The Battle of Sorel occurred in June 1610, when Samuel de Champlain, supported by the Kingdom of France and his native allies, fought against the Mohawk people in New France at present-day Sorel-Tracy, Quebec, my city of birth. Champlain's forces, armed with the arquebus long gun, engaged and defeated the Iroquois. The battle ended major hostilities with the Mohawks for 20 years. Native communities in southeastern Canada and northern New York State warred amongst themselves long before the arrival of Europeans on the continent. By the early 17th century, however, new alliances were formed, and the Iroquois became mortal enemies of the French. Samuel de Champlain ran the fledgling colony of New France and took personal charge of organized explorations of the unknown interior of the continent. Where Champlain did not actually travel himself, he sent other men. One was coureur des bois, or wood runner, Étienne Brûlé, the first white man to cross Pennsylvania and later the first to see Lake Superior, the greatest of the Great Lakes. In 1615, Samuel Champlain journeyed by canoe up the Ottawa River, through Lake Nipissing, and down Georgian Bay to the heart of the Huron country, near Lake Simcoe. During these journeys, Champlain aided the indigenous Hurons in battles against the Iroquois Confederacy. As a result, the Iroquois became mortal enemies of the French.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-218-6010. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-218-6010. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-218-6010.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
The Company of 100 Associates, or Company of New France, was a French trading and colonization enterprise chartered in 1627 by Chief Minister to King Louis XIII, Cardinal Richelieu, to capitalize on the North American fur trade and to expand French colonies there. The company was granted a monopoly to manage the fur trade in the colonies of New France, which were at that time centered on the St. Lawrence River Valley and the Gulf of St. Lawrence. In return, the company was supposed to settle French Catholics in New France, but were actually more interested in trade than in colonization, which was usually a drain on the company's finances. Samuel Champlain, who championed the colonization efforts, worked tirelessly to make sure the French colonies survived amid political and corporate changes of power. An English fleet left Britain in 1628 for the St. Lawrence River, led by the adventurer privateer Kirk Brothers. Samuel de Champlain anxiously awaited relief ships from France to feed the residents of Quebec, who were on the point of starvation. In 1629, the five Kirk brothers, now aware of the desperate conditions facing the Quebecers, demanded a French surrender of the fort, settlement, and fur trading post. Champlain suffered the humiliation of having to surrender his almost starving garrison to an English fleet that appeared before Quebec. He was taken as a prisoner, but was granted all the honors of war, and was escorted by one of the Kirks to England, where he learned that the war between France and England had been over for 3 months by the time Quebec had surrendered. Champlain immediately launched a campaign to annul the conquest of New France, and Charles I of England agreed to return Canada to France on condition that King Louis XIII pay the English monarch certain debts. At the request of French minister Cardinal Richelieu, Champlain returned to New France to spend his few remaining years. Quebec had been devastated by the Kirks, and now he faced the daunting task of rebuilding it. His next priority was to convert the natives to the Catholic faith. Though his motives were more commercial than religious, writing, "There are enough people in these places who hope to have a number of Frenchmen and religious to instruct them in our faith. This will increase the practice of religion and ensure an incredible trade in furs. Catholic Huron would go to heaven, but in the meantime, they would bring France as many beaver skins as possible." Champlain became governor of New France in 1633, but was getting old and tired. His colony had taken root. It now had 400 inhabitants and an active mission in Huronia. One dark note was the fate of his protege, Étienne Brûlé, who made a fatal mistake by trading with the Iroquois. The rival Huron were furious and allegedly tortured, killed, and ate him. Terrified by Champlain's possible reaction to the death of a man he considered his son, the Huron decided not to come down to Quebec to trade that year. In 1635, after winter had set in, Champlain died peacefully on Christmas Day in the beloved settlement he had founded, Quebec City. Quebec owed its existence to his tenacity and perseverance. Through his many alliances, wars, court intrigues, and maneuvers in matters of religion, he stubbornly clung to the dream of creating a profitable colony for France. Champlain left the world a prolific body of writings that provide an invaluable window into the challenging, yet fascinating, early period of a fledgling New France. In the thousands of pages he wrote, he always remained discreet about himself, but not about his love for the colony he'd founded. Check out the YouTube version of this episode, which has accompanying images. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you're enjoying the ride. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.